There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Reading for Ramadan.
So, to celebrate the month of Ramadan on Talking of Books, we're inviting various guests and bookworms to come in and tell us about the books that they think best capture the spirit of the holy month for them. So, Afra, what books have you got with you today? Let's start with your first one, which is a picture book.
It is. It's actually one of the, you know, those books that you discover and you don't know how it's going to go, and you look at it and you're like, oh, where has this been all my life? So that's kind of what this is. So the first book I brought is called Tea Veg, The Story of a Carrot-Crunching Dinosaur by Smriti Prasdemhals. I hope that I'm pronouncing that correctly, and I should know how to pronounce it because I met her, but I'm sorry if I mispronounced it. It's a really cute book. It has a really, really fun cover. And honestly, I haven't seen children's book illustrations done like this. It's I don't even know what you would call that style, but it's
very
incredible.
Engaging, very colourful. There's always a lot going on the page as well. And what's fascinating about the main character?
So the main character is a vegetarian T-Rex. And I think when you think T-Rex, you don't think vegetarian. And
No, you don't.
But this is about his name is Reg. Reg the T-Veg, get it? And he's a vegetarian T-Rex. And he kind of... You know, he goes to a potluck kind of thing, and he takes a carrot cake, and everyone else they're all carnivores, and he feels like he doesn't fit in, and it's that journey, and I think it's Ramadan is a big part of it is self-reflection, and a big part of it is really that togetherness, that sense of community, and I think this book through the journey of the dinosaur, I think it really. It brings that theme together, and so it starts off and he feels like he doesn't fit in, and I think there's a line where he says it's
and they don't accept him either,
they,
do they?
They
they're
don't
very resistant
him. Yes,
they're not kind.
It says he just had one small worry, one teeny tiny thing. At dinner time he often felt that he did not fit in, and so it starts with it starts with that. And so he leaves and he tries to join the herbivores, and that doesn't work out. And he ends up saving his carnivore friends later on, and they accept him and they embrace him as he is. And I think the central message is you are who you are. And I think that we all need to be really much more understanding about other people and really celebrating the differences. And I feel like the differences are what make us human, and that is what unites us in a sense. So I think it's a really, really interesting book. I think it was interesting reading it as an adult. I don't know how it would have been reading it as a kid, but I really enjoyed reading it as an adult. I've taken it to book clubs. I've talked about it on Insta Live. I love the book.
I think some of the best picture books are the ones that speak to adults differently, or just as much but in a different way to adults as they do to children. So there's always got to be something. The really great ones say something to the parent who's reading it to the child as well as
because
to the
child.
Because
they read it a lot.
Yes, exactly.
It was interesting because I was looking for it yesterday because I knew that Afra was going to talk about it. And I saw on Amazon there are loads of comments, and there was a really sweet one from a child who said that at school she's a vegetarian, and every morning they have to choose in their class menu A or menu B. And menu B is vegetarian, and the whole class are going menu A, and she's the only one that says B. And she said that tea veg made her feel solidarity. So that's quite sweet that it can do that.
It is, and I think it's really about that sense of realizing that we're not really that different.
Yes.
And I think that our differences are what makes it interesting. And I love that it's about dinosaurs. I'm a really big dinosaur person, so I loved that, and I think the book is really well written. It's kind of, it reads like a poem, which was great for me. So it was just,
It's beautifully done as well, isn't it? There's a lot of children's writers that are doing rhymes, and not all of them work, whereas I think this one did. I liked reading this. You could read it really well out loud.
I think the best ones make it look easy.
Yes.
And then you try and do it yourself, and you realise it's really not.
It really isn't.
No,
But I think it's a book I think that everyone should read. I think whether you're an adult or a kid, I think it's a good book to read. And I love the idea of a vegetarian T-Rex. I feel like she took, you know, the writer took two things that are most people think are polar opposites and put them together and made a character out of that. I think it's
the most extreme vegetarian.
in a sense, that element of togetherness in spite of all odds is very Ramadan as well.
Yeah, of course. And I think it is really about self-reflection. It's about community. It's about embracing other people. And I think these are the values that are associated with Ramadan.
This is why I love your choices, because I would never have thought to pick up tea veg to express the spirit of Ramadan, but there you go.
I also like the way it links in with the previous book with Flamingo Boy, because I don't know if you heard, but the line on the cover was it's the people, hang on, let me get that right. It's the people who don't fit in who change the world.
It's true. That is absolutely true.
It's absolutely correct. And tea veg.
It was one of these books. So I met the writer at the Literature Festival last year, and she introduced herself as a children's writer, and I wasn't really, it's not my go-to genre, so I'm kind of, I was okay, that's nice and stuff. And she started talking about the book, and I was just completely engaged, and I was okay, just hold that thought for one second. I literally told her, hold that thought for one second. I went, I got the book, I came back, and I was flipping through it on my way back, and I said, this is really above and beyond anything that I could have expected. It's amazing, and I'm really harsh when it comes to critiquing books. So this was really, really good, and so, I think everyone should read it.
So if you're wondering what book Afra is talking about, she's talking about Tea Veg, the story of a
carrot crunching dinosaur. I mean, what's not to love?
By Simriti Prasadam Halls. We have a little bit of time to get started talking about your second book, and we'll pick up afterwards as well. Okay. So Wonder. By RJ Palacio.
Wonder is on my reading list for this Ramadan. I haven't read it yet, but the reason I picked it is because I was doing a talk at Heartland School, and I have to shout them out because this is how it went. And so one of the kids that was in the poetry reading recommended the book. And I don't know, I mean, I don't know a lot of kids that are really, will say, okay, I think you should read this, and I think you should read that, and I think that's the sign of a good library and a good library system. But I have a poem that talks about being different and struggling to fit in, and all of the things that go with that, and the way that kids can sometimes be really mean, and I don't like doing it because it's really emotional. And so one of the kids requested that I do it at their school to recite that poem. And I was kind of, I don't know, and I'm going to forget the words. And it was just, I thought it was going to be too emotional. And then when I was done, the other kid told me, you should read Wonder. It's about this. It'll make you feel better.
Oh,
and it
that's
was just,
sweet.
It was, it was incredible, because I think that the content of Wonder, I think, will get lost on some people. I feel like people will just think, okay, it's an interesting book. But for someone to recommend it to me in that context, I thought was incredible. And I thought, okay, I need to read this book.
Have you read it, Rachel?
Yes, and it is incredible. It's a really beautifully written and well thought out book, because it could be... You could treat the kind of facial disability as almost a gimmick, but it's not. It's so brilliantly put together, and the character himself is so interesting that you can't feel sorry for him. He is genuine. Another one of these people that doesn't fit in and that can change the world. It's beautifully done, and also it's a really interesting study of his sister. Because he lives in a family where he is obviously overwhelming to the family, because he has so many needs and they want to look out for him. He's homeschooled. And you see the sister who loves him and who protects him, but at times feels that she's been forgotten or neglected. And it's really interesting to look at the impact that having such a huge personality or such particular needs in one child can impact the rest of the family. So it's a beautiful book.
Yeah, and I think that is really, again, that is, I think, the spirit of Ramadan is embracing everybody, in spite of our differences, whatever they may be, whether they're, emotional or mental or physical. It's about really that common sense of humanity. And for me, there's nothing that encompasses the spirit of Ramadan more than that, more than that sense of common humanity and that sense of community and together. And it's books like Wonder and books like Tea Veg, I mean, they show you that it's not all, you know, rainbows and butterflies, and that there are deeper, more complex issues. And there are, you know, people who, like the sister in the book, like Rachel was saying, you know, at times they feel like they have difficulty dealing with the situation or with other people, but you love them, and even with all of that. And I think that's a really important message. I think we need more of that in the world.
That it can be difficult, but it's still good.
Reading for Ramadan.
We are reading for Ramadan, and we are reading for Ramadan with Emirati poet Afra Atiq. We've already spoken about Tea Veg, the story of a carrot-crunching dinosaur by Simriti Prasadam Halls. And we've also spoken about Wonder by RJ Palacio, which we're still going to be chatting about for a little while. 4001, if you want to share your Ramadan reading list as well. These are the books that, to Afra, sum up kind of what Ramadan means, that capture the spirit of Ramadan for her. Before we carry on talking about Wonder by RJ Palacio, can we just very quickly summarise what it's about in case there's anybody who's not familiar with the book or the film?
As the person who's read it, I shall volunteer. Basically, it's about a boy called August Pullman who is homeschooled, and because he basically has facial disfigurement, it's based on, I think it's called Treacher-Collins syndrome. And so he stayed at home, and his parents think that he needs to get a kind of broader experience of life. So they enroll him in school into the fifth grade at his sister Olivia's school. He's given a kind of buddy, the way kids are when they join a school. And this buddy is a child called Julian, who the head thinks is a great example, but actually is not the kindest child. And he refers to August as Darth Sidious and gets his friends, and they're unkind, really, to August. But August develops some friendships with these children called Jack and Summer. But then Jack gets pulled into the group with Julian, and so August feels really let down because Jack joins in with the bullying. And that's quite a moving moment, and also interesting for kids to read, because Jack is not a bad character, but you see the way that peer pressure can pull children into behaving like that. So that's interesting too. And then the worst thing of all is Julian and his mother kind of club together, and his mother goes into the school and complains that it'll be upsetting for the other children to have a child like August in the class. I mean,
wow,
it's horrible.
Wow, I want to slap her already.
As you read it, you just can't bear her. And then basically, Olivia is, as I said before, Olivia struggles a little bit with her brother being there, and has loved being at school because she is herself and not August's sister. And so August overhears her say that she doesn't want him at the school play that she's the star of, because she wants it to be her moment. So he's overhearing all these things from people who love him and are kind children, but still can't quite cope with it. So it's an amazing book. And then at the end, you have this bit where he's sent on a three-day camp. And as a reader, you're thinking, oh no, what's going to happen? He's away from his parents. Who's going to look after him? And then another group of kind of outside kids, I think it's year seven kids that they don't know, come along, and they're unkind to him. And what happens is that Julian isn't there, and the group that Julian has got together and have been upsetting August all through this term actually step in and defend him. And so it's a really interesting book in that nothing is straightforward, and it's just an exploration of how everybody deals with that kind of situation and how brave August is and how he has to cope with all the things that happen. And a bit of a spoiler, but at the end he gets a special award for everything that he's done, and it's a very kind of good feeling afterwards. So that's a sort of summary of the book.
Speaking of good feeling, you were saying off air, Afra, that, I mean, you're saying it before as well, the fact that it was really moving for you for a child to recommend it to you. Was it on a school visit that you were at?
Yeah, so I was on a school visit to Heartland School, and for me, I do school talks pretty regularly, and I think this was the first time that one of the kids stood up and said, you know, I would recommend that you read this book. Have you read it? You need to read it. And I think it's reading is kind of, unfortunately, sometimes I feel like it's the uncool hobby. And I think for a kid to stand up in front of his peers and say, you know, I read books. This is the book I want you to read, I think is incredible. I think you know, good for them. I think that their library is definitely doing something right, and I think it's just kids are are sometimes shy about the things that they read and the things that they're interested in. So for me, it was a really like transformational moment to see that.
Let's take happen. A moment to give a shout out to our favorite librarians as well.
So yes, I definitely need to shout out Mary Rose Grieve, who is the librarian at Heartland International School. I was saying off air that Mary Rose is so incredible in what she does that I think that if a library were a person, it would definitely be Mary Rose.
Which I think is the best description.
It is such a lovely saying, way to describe
I was telling
somebody.
Rachel, she knows, I mean, mashallah, she knows all the books. I mean, you can tell her, I need a book about a left elbow. And she'll be like, okay, I know exactly what you need.
It is amazing.
I think it's amazing. And I think she's doing such a wonderful job with those kids.
Well, you have another book, I think, to talk about. We have a couple of minutes to kind of introduce it. And then I think maybe we'll have to talk about it when we come back again as okay. well.
So the next book that I want to talk about is The Last Lecture by Randy Posh. And it's a book that I read years ago. It's a book that I keep recommending to people. I think it really does capture that spirit of Ramadan, and it's a book that I keep going back to, and I'm constantly referring to it, so it's always in the back of my head. So it's one of those books that sticks with you.
What is, if you were going to sum up Ramadan for you in like three words, what would they be? I stunned her into
yes
silence.
No, I think it's kindness, self-reflection, and community, family.
Kindness,
I realize that's four words, but it's okay.
That's fine. I'll let you off.
It's community-family, so one word.
A phrase.
So does this one kind of encapsulate all of those things? I mean, what's it about? I mean, I know you've spoken about it before because, like you said, I'm one of the people that you've recommended it to.
Yes. The last lecture encompasses the self-reflection element. I think it encompasses that community element as well. And it's just very quickly before we have to break. It is Randy Posh, Dr. Randy Posh, was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And doctors told him that he had a couple of months to live. And he was a professor at university in the States. And He gave a lecture, the last lecture, and it was basically what the concept is, what do you care about? What would you tell your students? What would you tell the world? What would you tell people if you knew that this was the last lecture you were ever going to give? This was the last time you were going to speak to these people.
It's really powerful, isn't
yeah.
it?
Well, we're going to, it's so powerful that we're going to leave it there momentarily. But we will be back. Remember, keep texting into 4001.
Text if you want Annabelle to invite me back.
Oh my goodness, Afra.
I'm going to text.
That's fine. We'll happily have you back. Somebody has texted in to say what Ramadan means to them. Dilip, thank you for your text message. He said it's a time to neglect the body or bodily needs so that we realize we are not a body only, but there is a true self, i.e. soul. Thank you very much for your text messages. One thing I just realized I forgot to share with you was when we were talking about Wonder by RJ Palacio, a big part of that book is kindness and children being kind to one another and being pulled in different directions. And there's actually a clip before we move on to the last lecture that I want to share with you. RJ Palacio went into a school in Brooklyn and she asked children what kindness meant to them. This is what they had to say.
Hi, I'm RJ Palacio, the author of Wonder. I am asking a bunch of children here in Brooklyn about kindness and what kindness means to them.
I think kindness is like you should treat people the way they want to be treated and you want to be treated.
If someone's new somewhere, you can make them feel welcome.
Maybe say hello to them if you don't even know them. Like say, hi, my name is Sarush.
Can I play with you?
Yeah, exactly. Yes?
I think like kindness should be spreading everywhere, like to everyone in like in different states.
Yeah.
And matter what color they are.
I thought that was really sweet.
That's very cute.
RJ Palacio talking to school children about what kindness means to them. So we've moved on from Wonder now. I just wanted to share that with you. And we're talking about The Last Lecture by Randy Posh, which is a book that you are always recommending to people. What is it?
Can I just ask what kindness means to you? I'm really curious.
Oh, no. Now I'm being put on the spot. I don't like how it feels. I think I'm going to stop doing it to you. Kindness to me means making time for people, I think.
Yeah.
Making time. Yeah. I'm going to think about it and I'll get back to you with a proper answer.
Okay, I think cool. It's kind of moving out of yourself, isn't it? And into the world of other people. Because I think, well, I'm as bad as, probably worse than a lot of people, but I often get quite self-absorbed and it's all about what's going on in my head. And I think it's kind of stepping out of that and looking at everyone and seeing who looks like they need cheering up or who needs help or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it's doing the things that you don't like because somebody else
will appreciate.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice, yeah.
Good answer. But I think that's what it's about, and I think that's the thread that is going through all of the books that I brought, T-Veg and Wonder and The Last Lecture. I think it is about that kindness towards other people and kindness towards yourself, you know, and that compassion that comes with it. And I think that's really...
That's interesting, kindness towards yourself as well as to those around you. Is that something that comes up in the last lecture?
It comes up in the last lecture a couple of times, and I think, you know, I do school visits a lot. I'm always doing workshops and poetry readings and things like that, and I always think to myself, okay, what do I want to leave these kids with? What do I want them to remember? What do I want them to carry once the reading is over, once the workshop ends? What do I want them to take away from this? And it's not an easy thing to do. And the thing that I tell them is, I tell them to be kind. I tell them to be kind to others and to be kind to themselves, and to remember that they matter and their words matter, and nobody can tell them otherwise. And I think that's kind of along the same lines as what goes on in the book in the last lecture, because I think it's he gives, it's not really life advice, it's incredible
nuggets of,
yeah, little
brilliant
little
thoughts,
things of
it?
Brilliant thoughts. I think it's to call it life advice, I think, is to do a disservice to the book, because it's so powerful, and I think he touches a lot. Rachel was saying, while we were on the break, she said that it wasn't at the end. What were you saying about the
I
end
said the
when
bit that really touched me,
wife.
And I just had to get tissues out because you're talking about it maybe a bit sniffly. But at the end, he talks about kind of how he's done his lecture, and then he finishes by saying, "On one thing that I was sort of faking is this wasn't a lecture for you, the audience. This was a lecture for my children," and it was like his final words to his children, and it was just a beautiful moment watching, and you could see the audience all got to their feet. It's like, oof.
Shut up.
But also in terms of kindness, he had really interesting things to say about other people, because I think sometimes a lack of kindness comes through misunderstanding others. And yeah. So one of the things I loved in what he said was the fact that you have to give people a chance. And he said, wait long enough and people will surprise you. Everybody has something brilliant in them. And if you haven't seen it yet, you haven't given them long enough to show you. And I just thought that's such a nice way to approach others, because you can approach people thinking, oh, I don't like anybody, or you can be open and just wait for them to be the amazing person he says they are.
I think everyone has something to offer, and really giving people a chance and giving them that space to be themselves, that space to you know, show you who they are, I think is incredible. I think in our daily lives, we get caught up with so much stuff. There's stuff everywhere, and so I feel like sometimes we forget about other people and their capacity to impact our lives and their capacity to be themselves.
Do you think that we're too wrapped up in our own headspace, and that Ramadan is about encouraging us to kind of break out of our comfort zones and think about other people a bit more?
Definitely. And I think Ramadan is also about stepping outside of yourself. And it's a time of self-reflection. It's a time of compassion. It's a time of slowing down. It's a time of being extra kind to other people and being compassionate and doing good deeds and things like that. And I think it's incredible because it's the year of Zayed. And I think that those are his values. The values of tolerance and understanding and kindness and compassion. And so I think it all I think that's what it's really about.
In terms of sort of family and community, Randy Posh also has something interesting to say, I think, about relations between generations and relations with authority figures, because he talks about the fact, I'm going to slightly misquote him because he uses language that I might not be able to use, but he says that if you're messing up and nobody's coming to tell you off about it, that means they've stopped caring. So if you're kind of bucking against your teachers or your parents because they seem to be coming down hard on you, actually it's because they love you. And I think that's another quite nice way to look at things. And ditto, I mean, in reverse as well. If your kids seem to be kind of arguing all the time, it's just they're trying to make their place in your life. And a nice way to look at things.
I think he says so many things that I think are really powerful and profound. but so I brought a couple of them. And the thing that really stood out to me is he talks about walls. And so he says, the brick walls are there for a reason. The brick walls are not there to keep us out. The brick walls are there to give us a chance to show how badly we want something. Because the brick walls are there to stop the people who don't want it badly enough. They're there to stop other people.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
And I think it's amazing, because even when I talk to these kids at schools, I tell them to remember their capacity for greatness. And I tell them that, you know, barriers are only as big as you let them seem. And it sounds cheesy, but it's true.
I don't think it's cheesy. And it's creating a world where people can dream. Because what I think was interesting about him, he was talking, I watched it as a lecture rather than reading it as a book. And he was talking about, he pulled out a load of pictures himself of himself as a child, and he was smiling in every single one. And he said that because he was brought up in the 60s, he was brought up in an age of space travel and achieving the impossible. And so the world seemed like it was full of dreams that could come true. And I think that's a really nice way to look at what we should create for kids today, that to create this atmosphere where it feels like anything, they can do anything they want, and dreams do come true.
I think it's really a valid point, because I think when I do these the school visits, I always end with the poem that ends, "Let the dreams know it's time to come home." And I think that we forget about dreaming. And again, we get caught up with so much stuff that we're just kind of, we think, okay, I can't do this, or there's a barrier, or there's something. And I think that we all need to remind ourselves and everyone else about our capacity for greatness. And he says, it's important to have specific dreams, dream big, and dream without fear.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talking of Books on Dubai Eye 103.8, and we're speaking to Afra Atiq, Emirati poet, about the books that best capture the spirit of Ramadan for her. And the book she was just speaking about there was The Last Lecture by Randy Posh, which, incidentally, if you're not able to get hold of the book, is available as a YouTube clip. The last lecture is actually online, available for you to watch. Slight warning, make sure that you have tissues at the ready, because it does get very emotional. We have a couple more minutes for you to share the last book that you've brought with us. I'm going to move us on now. So what's the final book?
So the last book that I brought, me being the poet, is a book called Forget the Words by Dr. Shahed Shamri, who's one of my favorite people in the entire world.
And what are the words we're forgetting?
The words we're forgetting. You know, this is it's a poetry book. It's in English and Arabic. I always enjoy books that have English and Arabic side by side. I feel like they're companions. And she talks about different things. It's interesting, because she talks about your internal self and then the world around you and the things that we go through. And I think, again, Ramadan is about self-reflection. It's about looking at your life and healing, basically, I think, spiritually and emotionally. And that is what this book does for me. She has something that I think is really, really interesting, where she talks about education. And I'm just going to quickly find out where I marked the page.
I find poetry is one of those art forms where I don't actually like rereading books at all. But the one thing that I will do is I'll turn to a volume of poetry, and I feel like it's the one thing that is the perfect antidote to whatever you're feeling. There's always going to be a poem for you.
I've been spoilt a bit by somebody like Afra and Harry Baker and Lem Sisse, and now I don't like reading poems anymore. I want somebody to read them to me with passion.
I think poetry has this incredible capacity to make us think about things and to heal to heal you in ways that you didn't know that you needed to be healed. And I think that's what Dr. Shahed's book does. It's amazing. I keep going back to it every so often, more often than not. So every so often, more often. That doesn't even make sense. Could be a poem.
You're so overwhelmed.
There is a poem in that, yeah.
You're so overwhelmed by all of the words. Did you manage to find the extract?
I found it, yeah. Okay. So she wrote this poem called Appreciation. And it says, to those of us who do not see the beauty in education, has it ever been taken away from you? I watch as my students gather their books, write down their notes, hanging on to every word for dear life. They know that education is the path, the road to take. They know that the world opens its arms to you once you know. What is it that we have to know? We need to know that we need to know. This is a journey of appreciation, a chance to experience the world through different eyes, the world of authors and books, a world that has never ceased and will never cease. And I think it's about knowing. It's about knowing that you need to be kind. It's about education. It's about self-reflection. And for me, that is what Ramadan is about, educating and re-educating yourself.
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Me.
We're going to have to leave it there. Ramadan Kareem to you and everybody listening as well.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.